story of Balaam and how Balaam had an opportunity to preach something that the ungodly nation wanted to hear, and they offered him all kinds of things. And he sure wanted to do it, but then he decided to go to the Lord and see what the Lord wanted the Lord him to do, and God had other plans for him. And so from those three chapters, a little point will be for us to go forward to be, I guess, don't be like Balaam and use God's word, I guess, to fill your own pockets. That's what he was trying to do, right? And he had the opportunity to tickle people's ears, and so just don't do that. Just a warning. I'm sure he wouldn't, but just saying. Balaam tried to, and I was thinking to myself when I was sitting home and looking at my horses, a real good story if I had brought a donkey in here, and then I could illustrate to you, but I didn't have one. I had a horse, though. So in Numbers chapter 23, when I went to Bible school, this was a pretty profound verse I memorized, and it seems to come up often. Anytime I'm thinking or sharing, this verse is always there, and I guess that's what God's word does. It always comes together, right? Pieces all over Scripture come up, and they fit in there. But Numbers chapter 23, verses 19. So Balaam just gave the news that he's not going to do what they want him to do. He has to follow the Lord. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And some Bibles translate it as change his mind. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? And I'm just thinking about this. this thought of God is paramount to every single one of us. Everything that we have is our faith in God. And this verse right here speaks of God's faithfulness and God's holiness. And says, God is not a man that he should lie. Funny how God said that right away. He's not a man. He's not a human. I don't know about you guys, but I have a small little business. And I try to keep my word, and things happen, and I got to put it back a little bit. And I apologize to him, explain it to him. But maybe it's just the island way when you're trying to get someone to do some work. I'll call you back. I've been waiting 2 years. He hasn't called me back. So just funny that God said this right away. God is not a man that he should lie, right? Because God knows that we're faulty people. We break our word. We forget about it. So God right away wants to set himself apart from that. God's not a man that he should lie change his mind. And we do that too, right? We change our mind or alter things a little bit. Situation. God says that he's going to be steadfast and nothing is going to change. And has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? And I just praise the Lord through my Christian walk. I'm sure most of you have been a Christian for a lot longer than I, but everything that we do or should be doing is based on the faithfulness of God. Where everything that we think, everything that we renew our mind to or try to apply God's word to, we're applying it that this word is true. Like what he has said in here is going to happen. And that's exactly what he said to the Balaam thing. God said that this is going to happen to Israel, and it's not changing, and things aren't going to be altered. This is how it's going to be, and that's what he says the next couple of verses after. But kind of funny, too, I wrote this down, but sometimes people say this about humans, like, expect nothing and you won't be disappointed. People do say that. That's pretty bad. But for God, it's like anything that God says, he has to do it. And the Bible says, I believe it's in Hebrews, that it says that God, it's impossible for him to lie. God has to do what he has said. And it's part of his holiness. He's perfect. And another verse that came to mind was in Proverbs 30, verse 5. just talks about God's word. And as we know, as someone told me a while ago, that maybe this is even in the scripture, but it says, as his name is, so is he. That's a pretty big thing. Like God's name is, Christ's name is faithful and true. Because he's faithful and true. His name is righteous because he's righteous. And in Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. I looked at what does that word mean, pure. But it means like tested. In the Old Testament, you would talk about like the refiners. They'd melt it out, get rid of the dross. Ultimately, they were left with that metal or that gold that was as pure as we could get it. But God said his word is flawless. There's no deceit. He doesn't have ulterior motives. As he said, that's how it's going to be. And that's what we're supposed to count on. And I think of what really jumped out of mind for this passage, I guess, is we know what God's word says is, but the thing that we mess up on is, the big challenge is for most of us is that we don't want to wait for it, right? We know what God's word says, but we can hang in there for a little bit. We'll pray for a while, but then we start to look at somewhere else trying to find that fulfillment. And I just would have a couple of bad examples of that. Not a bad example, but a Christian, it's in the Bible. Abraham, right? God made that promise to Abraham that he was going to have a seed. They waited for a little bit, did what the Lord asked them to do, I guess. And then eventually Sarah came up with the idea, we're going to intervene. We're going to try to help God out. And you think of how long ago that was, and worse, the world is still influenced by that, right? Because man tried to take that into his own power, I guess. And eventually God did fulfill his word. Abraham, the father of faith, I'm not saying anything bad about Abraham, but I was thinking about this week in the book of Luke. I'm not sure if anyone has the answer to this. I sure would love to ask the man when I get up to heaven. But Zacharias, I thought about this. Zacharias is a good example to us of being persistent in prayer, is how I'm going to say that. We know that, I'm just going to tell you what it says here, but in Luke chapter 1, it talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth and said that they are righteous before God. And the thing that really stuck out to me, it says they are stricken in years, and that means that they had gone far. So they had passed the age of conception, I would think, what that means. Which is funny because God said that twice in here. He was stricken of age, she was stricken of age. And then whenever Zacharias was in the temple, the angel of the Lord came up to him and said, your prayer has been heard. We don't got the answer, but this is something to prick your mind just to encourage us. Either God had answered that prayer when they were able to have children, or he was still praying that he would have children. I don't know if he was still praying. He only did that to Abraham and Sarah. Not too many more examples of people that are older in age having children. But just to think about him, he still, God said that he was righteous and he was holy. He prayed that long time ago. And they were probably still, they must have still been counting on God to answer his thing. Even though he messed up Zacharias, when it did came true, he doubted, right? And then that's why his mouth was sealed. Just someone like that, a godly man who prayed for how many years? Just something to think about, anyways. But another one that always, this comes through, I know with the Lord, I wanted to teach you on something else, but it was too much of a sermon, but this has been coming into my mind a lot lately. Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? I guess the big thing that we think of is taste of the Lord and see that he is good. We can count 100% on God and his word and his promises. And interesting that the Bible says in Romans, I think it's Romans 1:17. Says it again in Hebrews and Galatians. But it says, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're saved by faith, but God wants us to continue to walk by faith, improving our faith, growing more in our faith. And the only way we do that is that we're continuing to count on God's promises and on his faithfulness. We're not giving up. God says, you continue to push on. You trust me for more things. And then he opens up the door for that. Just shall live by faith. We have to continue to have our trust and faith in God. And I don't know why this comes up. I was just thinking of examples. What do we stumble on for God's promises and try to take things into our own in our own hands? I'm married now, so I don't got to worry about this. But a big thing that I think a lot of Christians would struggle with would be like relationships. They do, or you know, people have been waiting for that Christian guy or girl, man or woman or whichever, right? And he ain't out there. Or she's not out there, right? And waiting for years, and then finally, well, he says he's a Christian. Not bad. Some people say, God's a good job. That's just how people think. But anyways, that's one big thing that we have to trust the Lord in on, and it's for sure, right? And then, you know, a lot of people go and she goes to church. We'll hang out for a little bit. We're going to miss out on what God's best is, I guess, is the big, huge thing about it. other things that we could struggle with, it could be anything. We could be works or house or cars or a job or children, everything, right? We got to wait for God to see his fulfillment. And just back to that little story of Zacharias, he waited a long time. And how long are we willing to wait for God to come through with his word, right? He said he's faithful and true. He's going to come through. He's going to give us an answer. May not always be what we wanted. Poor Balaam, he made a terrible fool of himself, or the donkey made a fool of himself, but God's will was done, and it's going to be done, period. another thing I wrote down here is that God is a God of promises, and that's, well, I kind of already said that, but he's made so many promises that he has a promise for every single area of our life, every single thought that we have, God has it covered. And we have to continue to trust in him because he's faithful and true. And I guess my warning for yourself and for me is that we have to not go elsewhere. We have to stick the course to God and wait for him. And the only way that we're going to, have his best and give him the glory is if we wait for him and we trust in him, right? And that's that's what we have to do. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he'll change his mind. That's just what I wanted to share with you. God has given us everything. He wants us to trust in him. He has to keep his word. Another thing I was thinking was that, I guess that another challenge to this, even for myself, is that the culture is kind of pushing us to have instant answers. And that's in our head too, right? Whether we think of, I got people ask me to, whatever, give them some lumber or something. Well, I got a few days or 2 weeks. Going somewhere else. I'll go to Home Depot. Okay. That we want to respond anything, right? We want like that. We want like that, and that's not how God works. We know he's outside of time, so something for us to keep in our mind as well. Trust in him, wait on his timing, and he's going to come through. He's going to bring the best. And you look at, back to that little story of Zacharias, he waited for however many years from when they got married until they were well stricken. There's a long thing there. God could have gave them that answer when they were 18, right? But he didn't, because he had to wait until the fullness of time, right? Until Christ would come, and then John the Baptist was the fulfillment of this, and then it led to Christ, him preparing the way before that. A lot of things to go into it, not just something small, but we know that God's will is best, and we have to wait and trust in him, so maybe you'll be blessed by that. Dave, I guess you're up next.